Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. Each week we'll look at some of the events that have been happening around the country and where the Church of England has been making the news. On Sunday, thousands of people will visit churches to take part in Remembrance Day services. This year has particular significance as we commemorate the centenary of the outbreak of World War I. Earlier in the year, I joined a group from Guildford Cathedral to visit the battlefield sites of World War I near Ypres in Belgium. Walking round the trenches was a strange experience. It was a bright, sunny day, yet everywhere was quiet and still. Looking down on the soggy rabbit warren of corridors in the ground, it was hard to imagine the horror of 100 years ago. I spoke to Peter and Donald, who were part of the group. Both had very personal reasons for wanting to take the trip.
Well, I knew it's going to be moving, but it's more getting to the pulling the tummy muscles a little bit today, been not far off crying a couple of times, because we all know what a trench looks like when you read a book, see it on the television, but to actually see that mud and the whiffs, the stagnant water, then you get the full horror of it, which is the nearest we're ever going to experience to it, I think. Just can't get your head around just how ghastly it must have been.
My name's Donald Thompson. I'm a server at Guildford Cathedral. And my grandfather fought in the First World War. One of my most vivid memories of him was telling us about all of the fun he had behind the lines. We weren't old enough to be told about the terrible side of the war. My father fought in Burma in the Second World War, and I think always just the idea at Remembrance Sunday, he was very affected, and we all watched it. We brought up what, make sure, in a sense, that was the day we did mark the idea of remembrance. And so I've always wanted to come and see the scene of such horror, to remember on behalf of, you know, my family, because obviously my grandfather and father are now dead. And I think to bear witness, when we were at the trenches, I thought I was going to be able to pray, and I couldn't. All I could do, in a sense, was come very close to tears, but just to be silent there, because, you know, these events and these people have formed the world we live in, and I think it's absolutely essential that we remember them.
You can hear a full report about that trip I took to Belgium by going to our website, www.churchofengland.org, and clicking on the podcast box. The Archbishop of Canterbury spoke at a service to commemorate journalists, cameramen and support staff who've died on the front line. This year the theme was "The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword," and the event was held at St Bride's Church in London. Here's a taste of what the Archbishop had to say.
We live in a world at the moment in which, in many areas, it feels as though the darkness is falling ever more severely. On whole swathes and regions of the world, and in which the light of news very often seems to go out. Whole areas where there is fighting that is forgotten because there's simply so much of it. Whole areas which depend only on the likes of James Foley and Stephen Sutcliffe to show some light on what is happening. The frontline reporter is the one who sees firsthand what is going on. They are the lookouts, to pick the words of Isaiah that we just heard read, the ones who stand on the watchtower day after day and all night long in the watches of the night. Watchmen, how goes the night? As Isaiah described it 2,500 years ago. They are the ones who witness the full horror of what is going on and dare to speak it. The rest of us are one step or many steps removed, both from the adrenaline and from the agony. We rely on the reports.
And you can hear the Archbishop's full sermon on the Lambeth Palace website. The hard work of restoring churches and cathedrals has been celebrated this week at the English Heritage Angel Awards. The shortlist for the category for Best Repair of a Historic Place of Worship was represented by projects from Somerset, Shropshire, Warwickshire and Nottingham. The winner was Brian Cook from Leamington Hastings Church in Warwickshire. His project had several major setbacks after an arson attack on the church, then a flood which caused damage to the organ, which had taken years to find and restore. He explained to Martha Linden how he kept going.
Encouragement and support from people in the parish, from my wife, of course, from just talking to people, and I think we strengthened each other just by, you know, getting stuck in and saying, look, we're not going to allow this to destroy this wonderful instrument. We're gonna fix it. But of course we had to raise a lot of money to get it done.
And do you have a message for other people in similar situation in Church of England churches?
Well, I think I would say what Churchill was attributed to have said, and that is never, never give up. Have a vision and just think about the generations of people who have contributed so much to the wonderful buildings that we now enjoy, and just don't give up. Just don't let them go, because they are beautiful places and they inspire so many people.
The Archbishop of York is urging people to remember those struggling this Christmas by donating to his online charity, Acts 435. Throughout November, there'll be a Twitter campaign running called #AnotherGift, and churches and community groups are being asked to stretch their budget to one more gift for someone in need. The skies have lit up this week with fireworks. One of the country's most established fireworks companies is based in Kimbolton in Cambridgeshire and was set up by the Reverend Ron Lancaster. Ron has managed to combine his job as a vicar alongside running the family firm, and he explained how he's managed it.
Well, the first thing I have to say was that I had never, ever had any intention of running a firework business. That is clear. And if I was going to advise anybody today, I would say don't bother either, for different reasons. The reason is that when I went back to be a curate in the West Riding, I renewed my friendship with the two manufacturers in Huddersfield at that time, and they were very encouraging to me, particularly at Standard Fireworks, because they were a very good Anglican family and they were quite interested to find there was a young priest who was interested in their business. And so they got me working on certain aspects of firework manufacture. And that's where I started doing the work, built my laboratory and really worked as a sort of semi-amateur for several years in my days as a curate. So when I came to Kimbolton, and the first thing I did was to ask the headmaster if there was anywhere I could build a firework laboratory. Waited for him to fall off his seat. And he presented me with a garden which had a 14-foot double brick wall around it, an ancient garden on the estate. At that time we hadn't got married, so I even kept a bit of gunpowder in the bread bin in the house. The big question that people ask is, how could you be a chaplain of a school and teach chemistry and run a firework company? I would finish teaching on Saturday at midday. We previously loaded the van the night before. We would leave after lunch, do a firework display, come back at maybe midnight. I would then have the morning services. In the afternoon after lunch, we emptied the van. At tea time, I entertained the preacher for evening chapel. And then we went to dinner at the headmaster's house to entertain him. And then Monday morning, it was school again. I think if you are only moving along one little monorail and that you are only doing one particular thing, Life can get tedious and it can get boring. Not only have I enjoyed making fireworks, but I've also had a certain amount of pleasure knowing that lots of other people have been enjoying what we've been doing in the dark somewhere in the background, and that they have enjoyed what they've seen and what's happened. Two Christmases ago, I decided to light fireworks at the end of the sermon. We have fireworks that burn indoors and don't make much smoke. But it was amazing to me how using light, you see, is the theme. There were one or two sort of parents who came to me and said, "You've no idea the effect that had on our children," you see. So these things are quite interesting, that you can use things like that.
The Reverend Ron Lancaster from Kimbolton Fireworks. Next week on the podcast, with so much in the news about the role of religion in education, the Church of England's Chief Education Officer will be here to talk about where church schools fit into the debate. And you can hear longer versions of today's interviews by going to the Church of England website and clicking on the podcast box on the front page.